Thanks for joining us for another awesome message from C3 Church Toronto. Our heart is that these podcasts would be a tool that helps you connect to God. If you need more info on our church, check out our website at www.c3toronto.com. Now grab a coffee and prepare your heart for a powerful word from God.
So Matthew chapter 5. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them. You love this, right, Matt? Mountainsides, teaching, it's great. He started with the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are those who are meek, for they shall inherit the whole earth. And blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied, or they shall be filled. It's interesting when you look at these Beatitudes. The first three Beatitudes are about our descriptions of sort of emptiness. Longing, right? Blessed are those who poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who are meek, who are humble. It's sort of like spending, getting everything out. And then he says, but those who hunger and thirst for righteousness shall be filled. That promise is, what he's saying is, righteousness is the thing that truly fills. We are in a world that constantly want to fill on things, right? Got to fill the tank. What are we hungry for, church? What are we thirsty for? We hungry for our careers. We hungry for money in our jobs. We hungry for putting more hours in to bring home the bacon. When you have enough bacon at home, so you don't need to bring any more bacon. We're so concerned about that job. Are we hungry for relationships? Maybe we're sick and tired of being lonely, and so we want that woman or that man. We want that spouse. We want that marriage. What are we hungry? What are we thirsty for? Some people even like, they're hungry just to travel. You know that travel bug that people have? I'm convinced that they had that travel bug. They're hungry for traveling, not because they want to leave their problems behind or anything like that. It's because they're not planted in purpose. They're not planted in the house of God. What are we hungry for? What are we thirsty for? The disciples were hungry and thirsty for something. Right? They were doing well. They were all catching fish, you know, in their net and selling it and all that stuff. Matthew was a tax collector. He made money, you know. But they all were hungry for something more than that, because they actually left their professions behind to follow Jesus. Right? They left all that behind to follow Jesus. I wonder why they followed him. Was it because they were hungry for more purpose in life? Was it because they were hungry just because they thought Jesus was going to set up a kingdom on this earth? He was going to have a castle. You know, they're going to eat grapes from the thing. What is it called? The thing? Vine. Oh, it's vine. Oh, I knew that. They thought there was going to be a banana leaf waving them. That's what they, maybe, I don't know. And then Jesus says in Matthew 5:20, he says, "For I tell you, unless your righteousness goes beyond that of the experts in the law and the Pharisees, it goes beyond that of the experts in the law and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." What was Jesus saying there? To go beyond that of the Pharisees, to go beyond their righteousness. I think what happened was, because the Pharisees were the dudes that people looked up to, people loved them, people were kind of afraid of them, people had a skewed view of what righteousness is. They had a thinking or a mindset that righteousness was doing things for show, doing things so people noticed. How many Bible verses can you quote in public? You know, how many prayers can you give out loud? How much giving do you give, and how do you tell people what you give? That's what the Pharisees did. When the offering bucket came, they took all their chain and they showed everyone and put it in the bucket. I think Jesus wanted to break some mindsets onto the people. It was not only the disciples, but the people who followed him up the mountainside. I think he's going to break some mindsets today for you right now, where you were thinking certain things of what this relationship with Christ was about or is about, and he's going to teach you something different. My first leaders retreat, it was at Horseshoe Valley. It was a great time. It wasn't the first leadership retreat here. It was like the second or third, but it was my first being at the church. And we were all sitting or standing. I think it was a break time after dinner. So we were pretty full from dinner. And, you know, Pastor Sam, he loves to have fun. I love Pastor Sam. He's a funny guy. That's our C3 culture. We love having fun. So this is what he decides to do. He says, hey, I bet you anyone here to run up this mountain for $50. And everyone's kind of like pausing. Oh, do I take it? I don't want to seem too desperate. I don't want to seem like I don't have money. You know, do I take it or not? And I'm like, I'll take it. I was thinking about it and I was like, I was new to church. I was like, maybe this is the way I could prove myself to them. You know, maybe I'll get accepted by the cool kids. You know, there was no cool kids there, but we're all cool. And or maybe I wanted their approval, or I don't know. I was hungry for something. I definitely was hungry for that $50. I mean, I didn't have the best job at that point in time. I was like, what can I buy with $50? I could buy so much. I could probably take Katie on a date. Were we together? Probably not. But I probably saw her, and I was like, I need to take her on a date. And this $50 is going to help. You guys are thinking, dude, dates were like $100. I am brown, okay? I find a deal. We go for, like, happy hour, you know? She won't know. Anyways, let's get back to this. So I take that, and I'm like, boom, I'm doing this. People are excited. I take my shoes off, take my socks off. Do I know why? I don't know why. I thought it would just help me up the hill, okay? And I was like, so this is like Sri Lankan style, you know? I'm like, I'm ready. And that's what people are probably looking at me like, who's this guy? He's like all villager and stuff. And so I'm ready to go. And I run. I like get out of those gates. I run as fast as I can, you know? And I get to this point. And all of a sudden, everyone's cheering for me. Everyone's yelling at me. And I look back and I'm like, huh? And then they're like, no, go, go, go. And I'm like, okay. And then I keep on going. So, oh, yeah, that's the picture. Beautiful picture. It's funny because I looked at Pastor Sam. He was the one who made the bet. But he was also the one encouraging me and cheering me on. Everyone say, oh, that's cute, eh? Pastor who believes in you even though he's going to lose his money. What a great pastor. And the whole team is cheering for me. Only Alex is laughing at me because I look funny. And Pastor Jess is probably Instagramming me that I'm going to, you know, she's encouraging something, saying something encouraging because that's what everyone does for Instagram, right? And I couldn't believe it. And I was like, here's me thinking that I need to get to the top of the mountain to get their approval. And I think sometimes we feel that way about God and righteousness. We think we need to be righteous and we need to climb up that mountain to get God's approval. We need to climb up that mountain to get God's love. We need to climb up that mountain to even be in the presence of God. When God is saying, hey, I'm giving you the approval at the bottom of the mountain. You don't need to climb up, because when Jesus died for you on the cross, when he died for you on the cross, he said you are righteous. He puts you as right standing in front of everyone, puts you at right standing at the bottom of the mountain, so you don't need to earn your way up to the top. And that's my first point. Hunger is satisfied by his righteousness. God's approval doesn't come at the top of the mountain, it comes at the bottom. I struggle with what maybe the Pharisees were going through. I think some of us have. I think some of us went this self-righteous way. And we thought we needed to show people our righteousness. I knew this verse when I was growing up. It's James 1:22. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. And every time I prayed in youth ministry, I would quote that Bible verse because I wanted people to know that I knew a Bible verse. You could laugh. It's funny. That was an example of self-righteousness. The Bible verse maybe wasn't relevant at all to that prayer. But I did it anyways. See, Mark knows. He's with me on this. Mark is the only one who's been through this with me. Actually, it was at the same time probably. We're at KRT together. And until I came to C3 Toronto, Pastor Sam kind of noticed some things. And he was like, hey, Jerry, listen, there's some things that you're doing in this fear of man that you're holding on to. Not so much fear. I'm talking about fear of man. Well, it's the same. But the fear of man in the church of context was me doing certain things because I was scared what the people, the Christians next to me would think about me, or what Pastor Sam would think about me. But that was just a righteousness of my own. right? I had to understand what Jesus did on the cross. I needed a revelation of what Jesus did on the cross, that his righteousness was put on me and he took the sin from me. It was an exchange. That Hillsong thing, beautiful exchange, that's what they're talking about. It was a beautiful exchange where he took on my sin and deemed me righteous, right standing before God. Paul says it like this in Philippians 3:9. I'm going to read verse 8 and 9. Only 9 is up right now. But it says, what is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Not having a righteousness of my own, not having a righteousness on my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. See, I was sort of gripped by fear. I was gripped by fear of people. Have any of you been through that? Just Rob? Yeah? You got a few people? Yeah, we've all been through that. We might be going through that right now. I still go through that. Gripped by fear. What happens though when we climb the mountain and we're gripped by fear, we end up never getting to the top of the mountain. Because fear is telling us we can't go any forward because I'm fearful what people will think. But if I'm gripped by faith and I only care, I only want to please my God, I could keep going up. See, the picture of those people that were celebrating me at the bottom is actually a picture of God celebrating you. Where you didn't do anything to deserve it. Where you didn't do anything to earn it. But he's already celebrating you. The Bible says that he first loved you. Not us. Loving him first. He first loved you. This scripture about Paul saying what he's saying, he's not just counting his religious background, his religious pedigree as a loss. He's counted all things as lost in the view of knowing Jesus, in the view of knowing his righteousness, in the view that he doesn't have to do. It's not what he does, it's what Jesus has done. That's what he's saying. It's about God's righteousness. This commentator says, not only does the believer receive from God a right standing before him on the basis of faith in Jesus, but here Paul is saying that in Christ, the believer, in some sense, actually shares the righteousness that characterizes God himself. So the righteousness that you live out, Jesus' righteousness, is actually a characteristic of God. It is you being Jesus. It is you being Jesus out into this world. For Paul, there was no better feeling than God's purpose. There was no better feeling than Jesus' mission. There was no better feeling. There was no better satisfaction than knowing Jesus' righteousness and what he did for him on the cross. Man, can I even, Jerry, go to men's brekkie? Yeah, you can. If you're a lady, sorry, no, you will have a her event coming up. But if you're a man, you can. But maybe there's some guys thinking, man, I don't even deserve to be there. I don't even have a Hawaiian shirt. You don't need a Hawaiian shirt. See, I actually wore a real Hawaiian shirt. When you go to Hawaii, you wear white linen shirts. You don't wear these floral shirts. That's what actually the Polynesians wear. But we're tourists. We wear white shirts. So I'm actually more Hawaiian right now than anyone else. Can I even go to Next Steps? I don't even know if I could take this next step. Because I don't know if I deserve to take this next step. I don't know if I even earned this next step because what I did last night. I was out late last night partying in the club. Sorry, that was a weird accent. That just came. That was probably how we used to say it back then when I used to go. That's probably why. Oh, there's a song. Up in the club and singing. Give me the hits, bro. Anyways, you guys don't know that song, do you? Okay, good. See, that's how far it has been since I've been to a club. I don't know if I can go to Next Steps, or I don't even know if I could come to church on Sunday morning because of what I did last week or what I did last month or what I did last year or what I did 5 years ago. You don't understand. When I come to church, these Christians are going to see me and they're going to look at me weirdly. They're going to know what I did. No, we are not going to know what you did. Only God knows. And I tell you this, he doesn't really care. Well, he does care, but he wants to see you here because he wants to see you move forward from that. Because when we keep on holding back to what we did, we're going to stay in that. We need to go forward with what God believes for us, right? This program is actually a thing for you to where when you take that next step, it's actually God taking that step with you. If you don't need to feel like you have to be ready. You just do it and God will make you ready. So if you are thinking about that, this is the thing to do. Some of us, you know, try to fill ourselves up with sin. And you know what I'm talking about. It's one moment of satisfaction, not two moments, one moment, 2 seconds, 5 seconds, and that's it. And then this guilt gets synced in. And then all of a sudden the shame comes. And the shame is what others may think of you or what others may perceive of you or what God may perceive of you. And all of a sudden you don't want to come to church anymore. All of a sudden you stop coming to church. Check this verse out, Psalm 103. It says, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As far as the east is from the west, he removes the transgressions from us. So, what you're telling me, Jerry, is this doesn't matter what I did. It doesn't matter that I need to earn myself or to deserve myself, to place myself in one of these seats, to place myself in one of the teams, to place myself on the kids' team and see this younger generation grow up in the Word of God. You need to take that step of faith to place yourself, and then God will help you through the fears. God will help you through the sin. That is his righteousness, that Jesus already did it. Are you hearing me, church? God approves you at the bottom of the mountains. Don't feel you need to earn your way up to the top. He approves you at the bottom because he believes in you that you will get to the top. So when you believe that he believes in you, when you believe that you get your satisfaction from him, you will go to the top. You will get to the top. When midway through that race, did you show a picture of the actual hill? No, let's show that. It doesn't look big, okay? And that's why when Pastor Sam told me, he's like, listen, $50. I'm like, oh yeah, no problem. This is halfway through. I think a friend took this who was actually climbing behind me. And this is halfway up. And I think I was supposed to go here, but I ended up somehow over there because I was so lost and dazed and thirsty because I ran out like Usain Bolt. Like I was running as fast as I can. And then I was like an old man with my walker, you know, trying to get up to the top. And if you saw a video, you would see me run really fast. But then you'd see like a slow-mo me up the hill. Here's the thing. There was no slow-mo back then. It was natural. I think they were inspired by that video. And they made a slow-mo video out of it or app. I was going up so slow. I actually had to use my hands. I was crawling up. Like it literally felt I was climbing up. I was climbing up like this. I wasn't running up. I started running up. My legs got really tight. I bet you that if I was wearing skinny jeans, this would have ripped. Like it was tight. It was hard. It felt heavier and heavier every time I went up that hill. I think some of us might feel that way when we get to the incline. It feels heavier and heavier as we climb up. It feels tougher. It's like tough mudder. It's like, what is going on? Why is this so hard? It was so good leaving out of the gate. But why is it so hard climbing this mountain? Why is it so hard climbing that hill? I don't know. You failed that exam. You're having difficulty in the home. Having issues with your spouse. You're having financial problems. Money's on your mind. We're all going through something where it feels that hill is getting tougher and tougher to climb. My second point is that thirst is quenched by pursuing his righteousness. See, what happens is we get thirsty. when the obstacle comes. We get thirsty when the trial comes. We get thirsty when it gets harder. We get thirsty in the incline. And there's one thing, knowing God's righteousness, right, that satisfies, but we also need to pursue his righteousness. See, in the rock climbing world, at least indoor, there is a term called ground up. You start from the ground, you climb up, but then when you fail, you got to start from the bottom again. You can't start midway through. You got to start from the bottom again. Every time we decide what Jesus did on the cross, and then we say, you know what, I'm going to do my own righteousness way now. That's what's happened. We stop in the middle, and we got to start from the beginning. Another thing that happens is we want to fill ourselves up with things that temporarily satisfy us. We get on the incline, and it gets really hard, and all of a sudden we want to fill. Instead of filling with Jesus, we want to fill with possessions. We want to fill with earthly treasures. We need to add Jesus first and then let him add the other things. In Matthew 6:31-33, it says, "So do not worry, saying, what shall I eat? What shall I drink? What shall I wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Why do we keep on adding things to Jesus? Why don't we add him first and let him add the things that we need? Because he knows better. Church, are you with me? There's this past of mine that I sometimes get ashamed of. And I want to bury it. I want to put sand, soil on it. I never want to talk about it again. But God always brings it up to be a testimony to people. When I lived in another city, why would you live in another city, right? Toronto's the best. Come on. I did. Forgive me. And I got into online shopping. All the ladies understand me, but all the men are judging me right now. Men, don't judge. Think about your video games or, you know, your cars or whatever. But I love buying shoes. Now, everyone, don't look at these shoes. They're not new. They're about, you know, a few months old. And I haven't worn them yet. But I love buying shoes. I love buying clothes. I love getting the promo discounts. You know, Googling and find promo discounts. I'll call companies and be like, "Hey, do you got any discounts right now?" And getting that discount and putting it in the promo code thing and getting the discount taken off. I'm like, yes. Putting my credit card information, clicking, and then getting that box the next week. It was like Christmas every week for me. But when I realized, when I got to my 36th pair of shoe, there's the judgment. See the eyes, the heads go down. Just kidding. It was my 36th pair of shoe again. I finally realized, how many shoes am I going to get to fulfill me, to find satisfaction? What do I have to buy next to get that? And I was like, God, what is going on? It probably was a crappy pair of shoe, and that's why, you know, God works in mysterious ways. Got a crappy pair of shoe, and it's like, Jesus, like, listen, Jerry, this is crap. You paid a lot for this. You know, come to me. And I prayed this prayer that week. And I'll get to you the root of the problem. I pray this prayer that I would meet a pastor who I could be under and at a church that would accept me for who I am. And the next week, I came to C3 Toronto when I didn't live in the city. And that next week, Pastor Sam saw me when I was sitting in the back in the dark. And I left that room and he saw me and he wanted to meet with me. The next thing leads to another. We have a meeting. We have coffee. He gives me the sense of purpose and mission. And then I moved to Toronto to move with Mark Bohm. It worked out perfectly because his roommate left, and I moved downtown to Toronto, came to the church, got plugged, and got connected. Now, the one thing I want you to look at is what was going on inside me, and I don't think God was concerned about the sin. God wasn't concerned so much that I wasn't stewarding my finances. I think he was more concerned with what was going on in my heart. What made me do those things that I did? What was going in my heart that I felt I needed to buy stuff? See, what happens is when we're on the incline, when things get a little bit harder, when things get a little bit pushier, when things become more difficult, we try to find our own ways of satisfaction. But what Jesus is saying, you need to quench that thirst with his righteousness, because there are certain things that will only fully satisfy you. What are those things, Jerry? Matthew 6, it kind of talks about how to pursue righteousness. It talks about praying. It talks about giving, and it talks about fasting, but in the secret. Want to know why it was done in the secret? It was because that's where it shows it's all about the heart. It's all about you and God, not what people think of me. See, when it came to prayer, it says this. It says, but when you pray, go into your room and close the door. Pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what you've done in secret will reward you. Because the Pharisees wanted to pray on the street corners. They wanted to pray in the synagogues. They would only pray when people were around because they wanted people to see that they knew how to pray. When it comes to giving, give in secret. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Then your Father who sees what you've done in secret will reward you. When it comes to giving, giving your tithe, giving your offering to vision builders. Man, I love vision builders. It's a sacrificial giving above the tithe. No one needs to know what I give. No one knows what you give except God. And I give because I'm compelled. I give because, I actually do get satisfaction knowing that there's going to be a permanent facility for this church in this city. Knowing that this church is never going to move. Knowing that this church will never be uprooted. Knowing that people will get saved through the life of this church. I love giving my time to the team. I love the kids team. Sitting in the front row, spending all their energy on these kids. Why? Why do they do that? Because they are convinced that these kids need to be built up with a strong foundation of who Jesus is. Because one day, these kids will be sitting here. One day, one of those kids is going to be standing here. One day, those kids will be worshiping from the stage. Fasting. Oh, you're like, no, Jerry, not this one. That's religious. We don't do that. It says, but when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, done in secret. I used to, in YWAM, people loved fasting, and they would always fast, and they would always tell me they fasted. I'm like, listen, I don't need to know that, because I felt guilty. I felt like I needed to do it too. And what Jesus is saying, don't let it know in public. Don't let people know about that. But I didn't have a great understanding of it until we went to our 21 days of fasting and prayer. We do that every year in the month of January to start the year off. And Jesus challenged me, and I started off by just taking out the meats, which I love. I love meat, okay? Like, it is like everything to me after God and my wife and family. It's third on the list, okay? It's better than Netflix, okay? It's better. I love meat. Oh, man. Anyways. So I took out meat, and the only thing that really sustained me was actually getting into my Bible. See, I love that passage in Matthew 6 talks about fasting, because see, how you replace fasting is you get filled up on the Word of God. It's the Word of God that spiritual sustenance. We take the physical out, the thing we most physically depend on, and we put more of God. See, when that term filled and satisfied in that last verse, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. What Jesus promised is to fill the hungry, to fill them as much as they could eat. And it's a strange feeling that not only satisfies us, but actually gets us to long for more. See, when I was on top of that hill, and you could put that last one up, you'll see someone standing or laying down next to me. That's me without my shirt off. I'm sorry about that. It was really hot. But there's another person right there. His name is Victor Radix. See, what Victor Radix did was, he didn't get the bet. He didn't want the money. He didn't care about that. But when I was on the incline, it got really hard. When I was on the incline, it got really difficult. Maybe some of you were on the incline and it got difficult. But Victor Radix ran behind me and said, go, Jerry, go. You got this. I'm behind you. Go. What is that a picture of? That is a picture of Jesus. See, when you get into your word, when you get into your prayer, when you start doing those things and actually have a relationship with Jesus, he's able to coach you. He's able to cheer you on. He's able to get you up that mountain. We wonder why it's so hard getting up the mountain. Well, let me ask you, where is God? Where is God along that process? What are we filling ourselves up with? Are we filling ourselves up with the Word of God? Are we filling ourselves up with prayer? It is a relationship. It is a two-way street. When you pray to God, He speaks back to you. through this word, through this Bible. When we get on a team, he speaks back to you through people on the team. Hey, man, I'm going through a rough time right now. Can you listen? I was actually nervous about this message because I want people to get it. I want people to get righteousness. I was in the bathroom and I was like, man, Jacques, I'm quite warm right now. And I don't know if I'm able to deliver this the way God wants me to deliver it. He prayed for me. As soon as that prayer was done in his South African beautiful accent, I felt the peace of God. You can't get that unless you get plugged in to the church, unless you plant yourself in the church. Jesus' righteousness will make us hunger for more. Jesus' righteousness will make us hunger for more because it makes us long for more. Because once we taste it, once we eat it, once we're satisfied with it, we just want more. We just want more of it. I'm so blessed to see the people, countless people coming right new to church, and they just love getting involved right away because they can't deny the impact that God has had on their life, and they want to have the same impact with people that are new that are coming into this house. They want to have that same impact with people outside the church. I think about even the people that are getting baptized today after third service. Come on, through baptisms. I hope you guys can come. There might be some people getting baptized. I think, man, I don't even know if I'm ready to get baptized. Or that translates to, I don't know if I even deserve to get baptized. I don't even know if I read my Bible enough to get baptized. And Matthew chapter 3, Jesus actually goes to get baptized. Why did Jesus go to get baptized? I thought he was the Son of God. He goes to John the Baptist, and John the Baptist is like, whoa, bro, like, you got to baptize me. You're the Son of God. I'm just John the Baptist. I eat worms and stuff. What does he eat? Honey and locust. You're the man. You're the Son of God. This is what Jesus says. He says, let it be so now. It is proper. Say proper. For us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. See, Jesus viewed his entire ministry with the righteousness of God. Even he was pursuing righteousness. In the beginning, he was pursuing righteousness. And he got baptized to identify to people like us. I love that after he got baptized, and I hope you're getting this. Are you getting this? Are you with me? He didn't do anything to get baptized. He didn't do anything to deserve to get baptized, right? I talked about this before in the feeding series. He didn't do any miracle, any healing, nothing to get baptized. He got baptized because he started his new life and his mission with God, okay? And so after he got baptized, the Father in heaven says, this is my Son who I am well pleased in. Validated him right there. Just like he validates you at the bottom of the mountain. And it's funny that Jesus, actually right after that story, goes on top of a mountain and gets tempted by Satan. Jesus got his approval at the bottom of the mountain. And then he was able to conquer fears, conquer temptation, and defeat Satan on top of the mountain. So then Jesus comes down and starts his mission. What does that tell you? That tells me that Jesus is the best mountain climber that we have. Why can't we follow him up that mountain? Why can't we let him lead us up that mountain? He knows where the distractions are. He knows where the weeds are. He knows where the pricky spots are. He knows where the root is at, that he wants us to follow him. Jesus is not the destination. He is the starting point. He's at the bottom of the mountain. And he goes with us to the destination. Mark was talking about that. Jesus is with us in the climb because he journeys with us. In Psalm 121, it says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. See, the singer in this psalm understood that Jesus, in this specific case, the singer was going to Jerusalem. I'll get the keys. Didn't need to arrive at Jerusalem before they were under God's protective care. That Jesus or the God would actually watch over them in the journey. That's why he said that. God is just as present in the journey than he is in the destination. And the message version, it says, I look up to the mountains. Does my strength come from the mountains? Some of us are looking at mountains right now. And we're wondering, how are we going to climb up that mountain? How are we going to get past that mountain? And it says, no, my strength comes from God who made heaven, who made earth. And guess what? He also made the mountain. So why can't he get you over the mountain? Why can't you believe that he will get you over the mountain? Why can't you pursue his righteousness? Why can't we live by his righteousness and not ours? Man, Jesus is rooting for you. He's cheering you on. When you're in that incline, when it feels hard, when it feels the push comes to shove, there's a picture of Victor. There's a picture of Jesus that is rooting and cheering you on to keep going. And he is going to be with you at the top. Just like Victor was with me at the top. There are some of you that need to make your way to the starting point. You need to get back to the starting point. From the ground up. Whatever. So what? You failed. So what? You did this. So what? You sinned. So what? Jesus will see that change. We will see that change in you. But get to the bottom. Get to the bottom and start with Jesus. Do you know when Jesus actually walked with that cross? Do you know what he was hungry for? I don't think he was hungry for the death to stop. I don't think he was hungry for the pain to stop. I think he was actually hungry to see you guys set free. There is some of you today that need to understand that the one thing Jesus was hungry for was to see you live in freedom and see you live by his righteousness. And I'm going to give you the opportunity in a moment to respond to that. I'm going to give you the opportunity to raise your hand and say, Jesus, I want to climb with you up that mountain. Thank you for validating me at the bottom. Thank you for coming with me on the journey. And thank you for being with me at the destination. If you could bow your head and close your eyes. There are three people here today. The first person, you need to get to the starting point. You are at the starting point for the first time. And you're seeing a mountain. You're seeing something big. And you're wondering, how do I get over it? You can respond to Jesus today in a moment. I'm going to give you that opportunity. You can say, Jesus, I want to do life with you. There's a second person who is suspended in the air, suspended in the middle of the mountain. And you need to come back down and you need to walk with him. You need to understand that he is with you in the starting point. And it's his righteousness that will get you up. And there's a third person, you just want that assurance. Maybe you've been up that mountain and you're on another mountain. And you're in the middle of that mountain wondering, how do I get up this mountain? It's a different mountain, Jerry. And Jesus is saying, hey, you want that assurance? Come to the bottom. Let's do this together. I'm going to count to three. And if there's anyone here, every head bowed, every eye closed. And if there's anyone here that wants to respond to a life with Jesus, I want to give you that opportunity. One, I'm going to count to three. One, today's the day. Today's the day where you say, Jerry, I'm coming to the starting point and I'm going to walk with Jesus. Two, don't miss out on this opportunity. This is the greatest opportunity that you will have. Three, who is here? Put your hand up in faith. Thank you.